We're going to dive into Daniel 3 very soon. But before that, I just wanted to give you a really beef. Head still in Daniel 1 when they stopped eating meat. I want to give you a really brief introduction into what chapter 3 looks like as we enter this story. And so, I need to just give you a heads up. Maddie Wiedemann said to be myself tonight, so I'm going to just unleash a little bit of inner Bogan. And so, every time Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego appears in the story, I'm just going to call them the boys. All right? So, we kind of use that in our household a bit. And then, because I'm Australian and I like shortening things, I'm just going to call King Nebuchadnezzar King Neb. That's all right. So I'm sorry in advance. But, so the beginning of this chapter, we see King Neb, he's built this big tower. It's 14 metres high, roughly 3 metres wide, and it's a big golden statue. And he's put this law in place where everyone, when music plays, they got this big band in the city. When music plays, they've got to bow down and worship. They've got to stop what they're doing and give this idol, this statue, all their attention. And, you know, if they don't do this, they get put in a fiery furnace. So it's not a good ending if you don't bow down to this idol. It's not something you want. And so we got the boys, and they're like, look, I don't want a bar of this, to be honest. They're good. They're three good Jewish boys, and they've grown up as Christians their whole life, and this is a big thing for them. They say, hey, we're not comfortable with this. We're not going to do this. And so we enter the story at Daniel 3:17. So if you'd like to turn on your phones or Bibles, whatever works. So 14. And Nebuchadnezzar, or King Neb, said to them, is it true, boys, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? So the boys replied to him, King Neb, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, the boys. And I'm still practicing that, sorry. Was furious with them, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And so we see he just gets really angry, and it's 7 times hotter. And it's so hot that he orders these 2 or 3 or 4 guards to tie them up and throw them in. And the guards die instantly. That's how hot it is. And so they're thrown in for not bowing down to this idol. And then 24, then King Neb leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. Neb then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, boys, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So the boys came out of the fire, and satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. So tonight I want to talk from the title of how do we stay focused in a world that's distracted? So would you pray with me for a minute? Jesus, I just thank you that we can meet again tonight. I thank you for your presence, for your love. Lord, we just love you so much. And I just ask, Father, that you would open our hearts, Lord, and prepare us for your word. Lord, that you'd just transform our minds and transform our hearts and impact our weeks this week. Thank you, Father. Amen. So, who's ever played a video game? Anyone here? So, from like Call of Duty to Solitaire, we've all played a game. Yeah, me too. Who's ever had a conversation while trying to play a video game? Do you guys get annoyed? I do. Anyway, so there was a stage in high school where I'd play like a lot of COD. I'd play like pretty much every afternoon sort of thing, and in holidays I'd play, like try and play all day as much as I could. And Mum would come in and she'd be leaving somewhere. She'd be like, "Hey Ez, can you like put the washing on the line?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, that's fine, that's cool." And then she'd leave and I'd keep playing. And then like 2 or 3 hours, maybe more, she'd come home and I'd hear the car driving in the driveway and it would click. And I'd be like, "Oh, I made a mistake. I didn't do what she said for me to do." And so in our family, there was one thing that would happen if we were in trouble. You get your first and your second name. So it'd be Ezra David, come here. And then if you were in really big trouble, you'd be reminded of your full name. So it'd be like, "Ezra David Phillips, I need to talk to you." And you know, we grew up, I don't know if guys can relate to this, but I've grown up my whole life being told that men can't multitask. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah, Josh can. And so I'd try and prove to myself, I'd say, no, look, that's not on, I can multitask. And so I'd be playing Xbox and I'd actually initiate a conversation with Mum. And I'd be like, I'd ask a simple question because you don't want to like set yourself up for failure. I'd say, you know, like, "Mum, what's for dinner?" And she'd answer me. And then like clockwork, it would come in and it would come out like that. Like I couldn't remember. And so I'd finish on the Xbox and I'd get up and go. And just be like, "Man, I can't remember what Mum said for dinner." And I would not ask her a second time because she hated that question as it was. So 2 times in one day was bad. And I got to clear something up real quick. Ladies, if you want us to be able to multitask, you got to not tell us that we can't from when we're kids. Like, you got to give us something. Guys aren't going to turn up to a game that they've already lost. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to stay focused or to take in things when you're distracted by something. And I was thinking this week as I was writing this sermon, you know, there's people in the Bible who we want to be like. I have two heroes, particularly Joseph and Stephen. I love them. And I was thinking about, in the context of Daniel, who do I want to be like? Who do we want to be like as Christians? And I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to be like Daniel. But on further sort of pondering, I found myself to actually be more like Nebuchadnezzar or the other people in how I react to things. And I want to talk about King Neb for a while because, you know, people don't usually talk about the bad guy when they're speaking in front of people at church. You always talk about the heroes, the people who did good things. But I want to mix it up a little bit and I want to talk about the bad guy. And I want to just make note on something about his inconsistency. And this story of Daniel, as we've been reading, is just an inconsistent story. King Neb is on and off with God. So at the start of chapter 1, he doesn't acknowledge God, not at all. But by the end, he acknowledges God. The start of chapter 2 is the same thing. 3 is the same thing. And 4, we see he gets punished for not acknowledging God and ends up acknowledging God afterwards. And so I want to speak about, you know, when you're King Neb, when you like him, how do you become like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How do you stay distracted? No. How do you stay focused in a world that's distracted? We don't want to stay distracted. It's bad. And so I want to talk about 3 particular things. 3 things that we can put in place so that we stay focused when people like King Neb bring things like idols into our lives that want to scream for our attention. And I want to talk about prayer being the first one, community being the second, and the third being why. Now, why is kind of an odd point, but I'll get there. And I want to define 2 types of distractions that we have in our life. And I want to call 1 idols and 1 distractions. And they're both very different things, but I think they're similar in the way that they want our attention. They really seek for us to focus on them. So idols I want to define as things that are good in our lives. You know, there's plenty of things like Xbox. Xbox is good. It's good for a little bit of time killing, a bit of relaxing. But if you're spending every hour of every day and all your money and all your time on Xbox, it becomes negative, hey? Like, it becomes really anti-productive and you're probably going to get fat. And then the second thing is distractions. And these I want to define as things that we don't see coming. things that are out of our control. And these things want to take our distraction as well. Maybe it's a relationship that's breaking down. Maybe it's the loss of a job or a bad work situation. Things that are screaming for our attention. So I want to start with prayer. And it's pretty obvious throughout the entire Bible how important prayer is to us and how important our heroes make prayer. And all through Daniel, we can see that they spend a lot of time in prayer. In Daniel 2, Dan needs to, he's got to interpret a dream. And he goes to the boys and he's like, man, we got to pray. Like, we really need to pray because if I don't get this interpretation right, I die. Like, that's necessary for prayer. Like, you're plugging in at that point. And then, you know, we see in Daniel 6, which is a little bit further than what we've read so far, that he bows down in the window and prays when it's illegal. He makes it very known that he's going to be praying to a God that he's not supposed to. And I was thinking about that and I was like, why? Why would you pray to a God, or why would you pray when it's illegal if there's no power behind it? So either Daniel wasn't very smart or he knew that there was power behind it. And we know that he's smart because he got picked from Jerusalem as one of the smartest guys in the kingdom, and that's why he's with King Neb. And so there's power behind it. And I was wondering why do they make it so important to pray in our story? And it's because in a world that's so inconsistent, in a world where there's idols and there's distractions, the only thing that is consistent is God. And so Samuel 15 to 29 says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind." And so when we're like Neb, when we're like King Neb, and we're changing our mind with things, and we're influenced by idols, and things are screaming for our attention, we've got to plug into that guy that doesn't move, that doesn't change his mind. It's like, you're not going to go to someone who you know for advice who's like, oh yeah, so you got two options, and I reckon option one would, no, option two. No, change that, number one would be good. Oh, actually, no, I don't know, they're both good, like you pick. You're not going to go to that guy, are you? You're going to go to the guy who you're like, hey, here's one option and here's two options, what should I do? And he's like, go number one. Number one's your best option, go for it. And God is like that for us in a world in a world where idols and distractions want our attention. God is that solidarity. He's the one that will guide our steps. And so if you're writing down notes tonight, I really want you to write down prayer as an important way to keep focused in a world that's distracted. So that's step number one. Step number two is community. And all through Daniel, we also see community. And I was like, why? Like, why do we see such a focus on community? And we talk about it a lot. We meet at church. We have life groups because we believe that it's really important for community. But that just it wasn't enough for me. I wanted to know why Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would live in community. And so we see in chapter 1, they all give up meat. Now, you know, that's probably not a big thing for them because they probably didn't eat too much meat in general. But for me, that's probably bigger than a golden statue. Like, that's hard. That would be my chapter 3 story, is giving up meat. But, you know, they do it together, don't they? They plug in and they go, hey, we're gonna do this together. We've got this task and we're going to do it together. In chapter 2, Dan comes to the boys and says, we got to pray. And they go, let's do it together. And they're praying for each other and they're praying hard for mercy and for God to come through and to bring interpretation. And in number 3, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all together in front of the flaming furnace. Why were they together? What's the significance of community? And I think they understood that, you know, we all have times where we're not focused. We all have times where we're distracted. And a good example is chapter 2 when Dan's got his life in the firing line. He might not survive if God doesn't come through. And so for me, I would be pretty distracted by that. You know, you got this guy over here and he wants to kill you, and then you're trying to focus on God as well. And so you end up being sort of double-minded. And that's where the boys come in, because they're focused. They're focused on God, and they can go, hey, I know that's a big distraction. Let's pray so that you're focused. Let's pray that you can keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray that you can get through this. And so community is so, so important. See, it's the little things, and it starts little, the small things that they do, and then it comes to a head, and that's where we see the idol come in. And so you practice community in the small things. And so can I really encourage you to plug into life groups this week and next week? They're so, so important. And I get that everyone has busy weeks, and some of us, who's had exams? Anyone had exams? Yeah, so we've got a few. They're busy, busy weeks. And then we have people with families here and people who are working full time. They're busy. But I can guarantee you that 1 hour with life group, 1 hour with other Christians who are focused, will help you with any situation more than 24 hours by yourself, stressed or anxious about what to do. And so you can come. And a little story of my own is, most times at life group, I actually don't feel like being there. I feel like it could be a bit too much effort. But that's really honest. I'm glad you laugh. pouring my heart out here. And so, you know, I come and I'm just like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this today. I'd love to just go, look, Joe, I can't make it. But I come and I talk to guys who are focused. I end up talking to Joe or Bruce or any of the boys or Hayden in my life group. And at the end we pray, and my week is just awesome. My head is focused. And I know that the boys are praying for me through the week, and I'm praying for them. And that's the point of community. So that's community. That's number two. Number three is why. And I want to talk. I need some participation, some audience participation. I know you don't like it. No one really likes audience participation. But it's not that hard. And I need you just to repeat one thing after me. Know your why before your what. Oh, you guys are great. Good job. Stephen Furtick, he's a pastor in America. He said in one of his latest sermons that the reason people quit something in life, whether it be a relationship or a job or their journey with Christ or whatever it is, the reason people quit is because they don't know why before they start doing something. And so things get hard in your relationship, things get hard in your job, and you don't have a reason to keep you there. There's no point in keeping on. And so he makes a great point that we need to know our why before our what. And I was talking with Steve last night, actually. I'm stealing a point from what Steve made. Is he said, you know, I think that the boys, they'd made a decision before even facing the idol, that if an idol came up, they'd say no. That they wouldn't break. And they'd made that decision. It's not really something that you would make split second. And so we need to work out why we're here. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we standing for what we stand for when society really wants us to focus on things like having our own truth and making our own sort of identity and destiny? How do we focus, and how do we know why we stand up as Christians when society wants to drag us down? And can I suggest that a big key to staying focused on Christ is interpretation. Interpretation is key. You know, if you've got five people of your best friends who are slamming you for being a Christian because you don't want to go out and go really drinking hard, or you don't want to participate in things that they want you to participate in, and you're just like, man, I don't get this. Like, they're preaching to me that their truth is their truth and my truth is my truth, but you know, when I tell them my truth, they're just like, nah, like, are you kidding me? Like, God doesn't exist. And you're like, why? Like, I don't understand this. And so you step back and you pray for interpretation from the Spirit, and you pray for interpretation with other Christians, and you get their interpretation, and you can step back and see that actually the people who are slamming you for being a Christian are broken people. It changes your perspective to be able to see that actually, they don't know the truth. They don't know that Jesus is the one truth. He is the one God. And instead of being scared of them losing their power and their freedom, they can find it through Christ. And so you get this interpretation and you go, wow, like, actually, I need to stand strong on this even more, because I could be their only way to Christ. Instead of going like, dang, that hurt me. They're mean. And so I want to just wrap up really quickly on just the three things that I've spoken on tonight. And I want to hit prayer first. Just remember, when you're in situations and you're walking, and so distractions are coming from you at both sides, and things that you can't see are coming from you at both sides. Maybe there's temptations that want your attention. Maybe there's that relationship that's breaking down, or you don't have enough money that is just wanting your attention. How do you stay focused? Prayer is the first one. We've got to pray. We've got to spend time with the guy who is unshakable, who is unchanging, and who's steady. We've got to spend time plugging into the Word and plugging into prayer so that He can give interpretation into our situation as well. Community is the second one. When things get rough and we're not focused, we've got to plug in with other people. We've got to plug in with the Christians who are walking the same journey but are at different stages to us. Because when we're down in the dumps and they're not, they can go, hey man, I'm praying for you. Hey, like, let's focus together. Let's walk this journey together. And the third one is know your why before your what. If you don't want to quit when things get hard, you got to know why you're doing it. You got to remember the things that God has done for you, and you've got to know why you're standing up, why you're making the sacrifices that you are, or why you're on the journey that you are. And the underlying thing is interpretation. We need interpretation to stay focused, because when we get in our own little bubble and we see things just through our eyes, we see them as worse than maybe what they actually are. We see them as bigger than what they are, or as just an attack on us, when actually it's a bigger issue, when there's people that are broken. And so we can go from focusing on ourselves and our own pain and transferring that to, hey, how can I help this person? Or how can I hurt this? Help this group of people who, yeah, not hurt, that'd be bad. This group of people who really need saving, who need to know a truth. So that's how you stay focused in a world that's distracted. And it's not hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. I love the quote that if it was easy, everyone would do it. And that's so true. And I'm thinking about the parents in this room who are just great parents. And they'd say to you, you know, being a parent is one of the hardest things that we've done, but they'd say it's the most worthwhile. Walking with Christ is the hardest thing that you'll do at times. At times it will be hard, but it'll be the most worthwhile thing. So stay focused. Would you pray with me really quickly? And Jesus, I just thank you for your grace, and I thank you for what you do in our lives. Lord, when idols and distractions pop up, and they want our attention, Father, that you are stronger than them and that you want to break through, Lord, that you really want to come through for us, and you want to guide us through situations where, honestly, we don't know where we're going or what we're doing. Father, would you help us to pray to you, to get into community, and give us our reason why. Lord, you are our reason. I just thank you, Father, for all that you do. Amen.